Hey, this is Seal from Immortals, and you are listening to TCR.
This is Chris J from Mousesports.
Hey, this is Threat from NIP.
Hello, this is Happy from Team NVS.
Hey, it's Simple from Ivy.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Stu2K from Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports radio show. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim K. You might already know that. Captain Trips around the ticket studios. Voices and names you do not know, though, are my best friends in the world, my first mates, my rocks, my lovers. Anuj, how are you? Say hello. Say hello to maybe millions, possibly billions of people.
What's up, everybody?
And Brett, how are you?
Good.
Are you nervous?
No, totally. No.
You feel
definitely
good?
Not.
You feel good?
I'm ready to rock.
The sweat's normal, right?
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you both are feeling well here for your radio debut, because we have possibly the best episode ever. It's episode 66, coming to you live from the ticket studios. And what's the time? 7:10, the date, July 13th, 2017, of our Lord and Savior. It's our preview of the PGL Krakow Major, Fahey.
Krakow.
I'll get it eventually. Don't you worry.
So this show is called The C-Ring?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, just making sure.
We will go take you through team by team, kind of going in depth here, okay? We will finish the show with what we like to call e-news. It's our version of e-news. Esports e-news. Get it? It's hilarious. It's a pun. We also will spend one full segment going over the mysterious case of Virtus Pro. If you are into the Counter-Strike scene, you might be familiar with how they just kind of fell off the map. But to start the show, you know, I am a realist here. Esports is not, it's getting there. It's popular, right? But possibly, most likely, most of the people listening to this show right now probably don't watch a lot of it. And in fact, whether you do or don't, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. We are taking Twitter questions throughout the show and in the last segment, of course. So if you have questions, thoughts, opinions, hopes, fears, dreams, let us know at The Center Ring. But I want to get into what the show is about today. It's previewing the PGL Krakow Major. And it's for Counter-Strike Global Offensive, CSGO. I'm going to try and speak to the masses here. Like I said, we do a weekly show. It's our podcast. You can find it on our Twitter or tcr.gg for the website. If you're interested, check it out. So I'll try to keep it for layman speak. But let's dive into this preview, gentlemen, because we are, you'll notice, time flies on live radio. So this is the 11th major. Okay, now what is a major, you ask? Essentially, they are tournaments sanctioned by Valve, the creators of CSGO. I know we were talking about it in the pre-show meeting that, and this is maddening to anyone, there's really no format to how Valve does this, right?
No. It's let's get a meeting together about 2 months prior and talk this thing out. See who gets it.
Kind of
give
comparing
me your best
it
pitch
to like golf or tennis, where they have four set majors a year. These majors are dictated after one event takes place. So then they figure out when the next event will take place. So it's not like you have a mid-year and then an end-of-year major. It can really happen at any point during the Counter-Strike season, so a little unusual the way they do it. There's not a whole lot of strategy put into it.
And the way they decide this is, so at the current major, okay, so let's use this one for example, PGL, okay, which is one of the many gaming professional leagues out there, okay, in esports. You don't have an NFL, you don't have your MLB or NHL, you don't have your set one league to rule them all kind of bit. You have a lot of different organizations, if you will, that run their own leagues and run their own tournaments, and they are basically given the right to host a major after they make a pitch to Valve. Now, they do this at the major. So, for example, back in January, E-League was having their major. E-League, you might have seen on TV, that's hosted by TBS. That's TBS's main esports venture there. So you have all these big companies, MLG, PGL, ESL, DreamHack, all these guys get together at the majors, and they basically make their pitch on why they deserve to host this. Now, this one was particularly a surprise to most for two things. It's PGL's first time hosting a major, and also, it was not given to ESL-1, which is like the first time ever ESL-1 was not given the major.
But I'll tell you, like, I'm a fan of their UI. You know, the way that, you know, they present the matches. It's just so clean. It's easy on the eyes. And that might have been part of the big reason they got it. Like, okay, you guys are putting effort into this.
I think one of the shocking parts to everybody is ESL-1, the tournament that Tim was talking about, is been awarded the major for the last 3 years, essentially. That's a week prior to this event. So it just took place this past weekend. And so you have a conflict of interest with teams attending both back-to-back, because ESL-1 is hosted in Cologne, Germany, and now they're having to fly over to Poland for the next event.
And that's one of my things is, first off, the scheduling in esports is a mess. It's, you'll have a huge, quote-unquote, biggest tournament of the year every weekend. It's awesome as a fan, but it's kind of mind-numbing as a player, and they'll tell you that they get burnt out on it. But the majors are supposed to be their build anyways, right? They're billed as the tournament to where if you win, you are the best team in the world. My only beef with that is the fact that all these teams, for the most part, play each other almost once a month.
Yeah.
So the title as best team in the world is so short-lived. You know, it's not like where with the Super Bowl you win and you have an entire off-season and then a season to hold on to that title. Sure, you might. So for example, you know, Astralis might beat VP like they did in the E-League major, mm-hmm. and that's fine. They could literally play each other 100 more times, though, this year, and VP win all of them.
Yeah, we're the best team in the world this month, but we'll see who the best team in the world is next month.
Where it's a little different, though, with the majors is it's more of an international event. Most of the league plays that you see...
It's more stringent to get in.
Yeah, but most of the league plays with ECS and ESL, they separate it for North America and Europe. So this is also one of those events where you see countries, you know, kind of hosts from different countries taking place and playing part in the event.
I'm just saying, without the lack of formal formatting in esports, that to say whoever wins this tournament, I mean, yeah, the players probably care about it the most, but to say that whoever wins this is the best team in the world is kind of, it's meh to me.
At that point in time.
It's kind of like, okay. It's
Until next time,
yeah,
right?
With quotation marks around it. That being said, though, the reason they care about it so much is because this is sponsored by Valve, meaning the prize pool is pretty nice. The prize pool is $1 million, with $500,000 going to first place, $150,000 going to second, $70,000 to third and fourth, and it kind of dwindles down from there. Now, in Counter-Strike, this is the biggest prize pool, right? The majors are always given $1 million by Valve, and then the teams can make anything off of like the... it's for those who don't know, you can buy stickers and that's how you do your brackets online. So they get money off of people filling out brackets and everything online, essentially. This is the biggest pool for Counter-Strike. Now, in esports, it's not even close.
It's one of the smaller ones for esports.
Which is really weird because Counter-Strike is arguably the most popular esports, unless you're looking at like League of Legends or Dota, which they're MOBAs. It's not a first-person shooter. But as far as like first person shooter, there's not even another game that's
close. Not even close. No.
I mean, even Call of Duty, which has a huge following, not even close, and yet they're getting similar prize pools, which I know for some people that's a sore topic.
When we say not even close, we're talking like some prize pools go up to $20, $30 million almost. So there's like a very big discrepancy between theirs and other games.
Now, the key thing with how you place at the major, though, is the top eight finishers, so the eight teams that make it out of group play or pool play into the finals, into the eight, into the playoffs, instantly get re-invited to the major. Okay, so you're going to see here they call them legend teams, legendary status. Those are teams that made the top eight last major. Okay, they instantly get re-invited. They don't have to worry about qualifying. And that is a huge deal when it comes to these type of tournaments to have that type of clout.
Yeah, qualifying is a pretty brutal process to try and work your way into the final eight spots, which are known as the challengers. So you have your legends and then you have your challengers.
Now, one thing with this is the second major that they're doing this type of format. It's called the Swiss format. They did it first with E-League. They've done it with a lot of tournaments. ESL One Cologne last week did the Swiss format. A lot of the bigger tournaments are moving to this type of bracket, if you want. You know, it's not your typical four groups and move on from there. If you're not familiar with the Swiss format, in short, all the teams are basically starting out in one giant group. Then you're randomly selected to play a team from there. It's just names out of a hat who you're playing. Then from there, winners play winners, losers play losers. Again, randomly selected, but you're not allowed to play the same team twice. Okay, so it creates a lot of drama, a lot of controversy, though, because a lot of times it normally ends up where, like, some of the best teams in the world will be playing each other for elimination games before you even get into the best of three round.
But I also feel that this format, I mean, you may have one team that just, you know, you can say, yeah, they had an easy road. But, you know, unlike, you know, group play, like, you know, like your World Cups, you know, you have three, four, maybe five teams that are like, all right, they had an easy road to this thing. But in this Swiss format, I feel like maybe there's one team that I can say, yeah.
Really, in either format, somebody is going to run into some trouble, right? You hear it in any sport, the group of death. That's kind of the terminology that you hear within World Cup play. I mean, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be one group that's more difficult. This is randomized. It's a best of one. So it kind of works like the NCAA bracket in that sense that you win, you advance, you lose, you fall into a loser's bracket. And it's the first three teams to win three games, advance into the playoffs. If you lose three, you're essentially out at that point.
And I want to touch on like how Brett was saying, it leaves little room for like the discussion of someone had an easy road. I mean, I guess you can still have that argument, but you know, like Anuj, you mentioned that's going to happen in any bracket, same vice versa. The reason I like the Swiss, though, is because historically you will see the Swiss format will favor to the underdog. And maybe not so much favor. Maybe that's not the right word.
It gives them the best odds of winning, though.
Yeah,
typically
you'll see a team that normally shouldn't advance in a normal tournament will prevail in a Swiss format because they get to play teams similar to their skill more so.
But, you know, more to the point, they still have to win three games. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, they still have to match what every other winner did.
Yeah, and if you had a tough road to, you know, the group stages, when you're 0-2 and you're fighting for your, you know, playoff life, you're playing another team that's 0-2. So you're playing a team that's struggling just as much as you. So, I mean, I'm a fan. I wish more leagues would adopt it.
And you're
seeing that.
I mean, you're seeing more tournaments go to that play style. It just works out better for the drama because you do have those elimination matches come up pretty early on in this process. The third game into the tournament could essentially be an elimination match. So it brings drama early on versus a round robin setting where it's you have to go through four games, see where you rank up, and then they just take the top two and move them on. You can see drama early on in the type of Swiss format that they're doing.
Now this tournament, it starts the 16th. So what's that, Saturday?
Yep.
Okay, so this starts Saturday, goes on till the 23rd. It's about a week-long tournament. Okay, starts on Saturday. Keep that in mind. Because just yesterday, they announced that the new map veto system that's going to go. Now, when I say map veto, what I mean is that there's, you know, seven or eight maps that teams can play on, but typically they'll veto or ban maps to where they don't have to play all of them, right? You pick one or two, depending on the style of the game, and then that's what you'll play. For the longest time, it's always been Team A bans, Team B bans, A, B, and then it's randomly picked on what map to play. Well, just yesterday, they announced that now they're changing it to where Team A, which is the top-seeded team, will ban two, then Team B will ban three, and then Team A gets to actually pick the map. It's not randomly generated.
Which is a huge advantage. And then Team B decides what side they play on, essentially, first, which can help out. But it does give the favorite more of a, you know, a leg up, which it really hasn't done in the previous veto system.
But, you know, I'm a fan of that, too, because it gives you something to play for outside of tournament. It gives you something to play for. Okay, if you want your map, if you want your map picked, guess what? You know, blow it away, you know, outside of tournaments and get that high seed. So I'm a fan.
I just think it adds another level of strategy to it. Right, a winning team actually has an advantage where before I really didn't feel like they did. They got to ban one more map, but even then, you could end up with a map that wasn't even yours.
And at that point, we ban, we pick, but it also comes down to, you know, best of ones. It's random at the end. You know, you ban these maps, but then there's also that unknown factor. Like, you don't know exactly what map's going to be picked.
I think a part of this, in my opinion, is the fact that you're seeing more Swiss format games. In Swiss format, like we said, the biggest thing about it is the underdog has a better chance. This gives that favorite team a little bit more of a leg up in selecting the map they want to play. And in Counter-Strike, choosing your map, if you're down to two maps and one of them is a favorite map for you, it makes a huge difference in strategy. And so I think part of this change is because you're seeing the Swiss format being adopted. They had to find a way to not make it such a heavy underdog or, you know, underdog-sided game. And so that's where I see it coming from personally. It is odd timing to do it right before your biggest event. You're talking just a couple of days, so now teams have to go into that process with a different mindset, but I think it's for the better.
And now you know the tournament, you know the format. Let's get into the teams now that are going to be playing at this PGL Krakow Major coming up this weekend. We will dive into all 16 teams next here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
We're not effing around tonight. This is serious stuff. Okay, we are effing around. And the subject of said time wasting? We're previewing the Counter-Strike PGL Major Krakow on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Join the T-Box with Rick and Craig when they broadcast from Lake Park Golf Course in Louisville from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Check out the Akris Players Prime and Players Club cards, plus the new Crush Burger. That's the T-Box at Lake Park Golf Course in Louisville this Saturday morning from 8 to 10. We are the Center Ring here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. We are an esports show, so yes, that is somewhat of a video game, but not really a video game show. The esports crowd, they don't like it. Don't ask me why. Again, we are getting wonderful responses on Twitter. Some guy asked if we can talk about real sports. That's good input, but no, we cannot. You wouldn't want to hear that anyways, trust me. But again, at the Center Ring is our Twitter. Go ahead and give it a follow. If you don't mind, send us your Twitter questions. We'll get to those at the end of the show. We just previewed kind of the setup of the major, gave you kind of the rundown on the format, everything there, kind of what you need to know. But what's more important than the format are the teams that are going to be there, okay? 16 teams, arguably the best in the world. They've qualified. They've gotten their right to be there, are going to be at this major. For right now, let's spend this segment just kind of briefly touching on each one, and then we're going to talk about Virtus Pro all next segment, because they warrant it, and then we'll talk about a little bit of the other teams in more detail later on. We kind of made a list here. Let's go down this list, gentlemen, if you don't mind. First off, number one in the world, to some, Astralis. They won the last major, E-League, they've recently, again, I don't want to go too far in details, but when you see Astralis, do you think of a number one? I know HLTV has them at number three.
I mean, they're like 1C, right? I have three teams in mind, not going to mention them, but that could win this thing. And they're 1C to me. Like, they could win. You know, their structure, they're very technical. They have a good in-game leader. You know, they have everything surrounding them that says, yeah, you know, they could. I mean, they have a sports psychologist on their team. Like, they are taking it to a whole nother level. I mean, it's crazy.
1C equals 3 to me. You know, like, they're the third best, I think, of the top three right now. And my reasoning for that is they've just been kind of, like, mute recently. They haven't attended many of the events. They didn't qualify for ESL Pro League, so you didn't get a chance to see them here in Dallas at the Verizon Theater perform on stage over there. You didn't see them at ESL 1.
And I have a reason for that, and I'll get into when we break down the teams more. I'll tell you why.
And then on top of that,
we call that a tease in the radio.
They weren't in ESL 1, so they just weren't in the most recent big tournament that took place. I think you have two hotter teams going into this right now. Again, we'll get into them, obviously, but FaZe and SK, in my opinion, are 1-2. And then you have Astralis right there, who's just as capable of winning it, but I don't see them as the top team right now.
One of the teams here that you can qualify as a underdog would be Big, or as I like to call them, the Bear Claw team. There's actually three German teams in this major, which for those who don't follow professional Counter-Strike is kind of unusual.
First time.
Yeah, the German scene's always been there, but it's always been Mouse Sports, and then it used to be Penta a long time ago, and now they've kind of made that resurgence. But Big is one of those teams that they literally just formed this January. They are a fresh team. They've qualified for, you know, their first major. Are they going to make it anywhere? Probably not. You know, they're one of those teams that are probably going to use this more as an experience block, but they're here.
They're a team with a lot. So even though they're newly formed, they're a team with a lot of experience. They have one of the most experienced in-game leaders who came from Counter-Strike 1.6. His name is Gob B. They have an all-star player on their team, Tabson, who many think is one of the top players in the world. He's not the best, but he's able to compete at a very high level. So although they're a newer team, they bring a lot of experience to the table. I think they're ranked in the low 20s, you know, high teens right now. You're not going to say they're a favorite to win, but they're going to give teams a hard time.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you look at their you know, tournament experience. I feel like just looking back at their recent tournaments, they don't get anything less than third place, but they're not playing the top talent. And not a whole lot of these guys have major experience. So I won't, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
And they won the EU qualifier, which is the tougher of the two, you know, NA and EU. EU is the better grouping, and they came out on top in the EU qualifier. So they played very well to get to this point. Now, obviously, you go up against all the big dogs, and they'll have a chance to show themselves.
One team here that I was going to save the best for last, but we might as well just get to them. This is, if you wanted to be a homer for this tournament, this is your one chance. Literally, your one chance to
root. One and only.
Yeah, to root for the American team. And that's Cloud9. Cloud9 is the only North American team at this major.
America's hopes and dreams.
Going in, so they had to qualify through ESL 1. There was a chance for the first time in history that there was not going to be a single American, North American team at a Counter-Strike major, which that would have been embarrassing. I mean, we're already basically the butt end of every professional joke when it comes to Counter-Strike or just esports in general. That would have been kind of the dagger.
Yeah, a winner here would be making the playoffs for a North American team. I mean, that's considered a win in our books if an NA team makes it to the playoffs. So now we have one chance at it. It's Tim's hometown team.
I do love them.
Such a fanboy.
I will say I am a fanboy, but I'm not afraid to admit that. If you had to make a comparison to Cloud9, think of the expectations of the Dallas Cowboys without any reasoning for it. They really have not had any success ever as far as like big scale goes, and yet they have all the expectations of that they should be a top team in the world. And really, that's just because they have the most fans in America. They're America's sweetheart team. Moving on here, you have FaZe. FaZe is, again, one of those we mentioned before, arguably could be a top one team at any given point. This is the first major that they're going to have Nico on the team. Nico, if you're unaware, is basically the chosen one of Counter-Strike.
Yeah, there's two players that fall into that grouping. It would be Nico and Colzera. Nico is, I mean, just an amazing player. He was recently transferred over to him from a German team, Mouse Sports, playing in his first, you know, major tournament with this lineup, and they have a very good team. They're currently ranked number two in the world. No reason why they can't go out there and win this.
You have Flipside. Flipside is an interesting team because the makeup of Flipside, like, they have Markolov, right? Markolov has literally never missed a single major. He has been somehow qualifying for every single major out there. Now, he's not the only player to do that. I mean, the entire roster of Virtus Pro has done it. A lot of guys on Fnatic, you'll see, have done that. The difference there is Markolov is the only one that has had zero success.
Well, he's the only one. Those other teams that you mentioned are like kind of superpower teams for the most part. He's playing on mid-level teams that he helps them kind of excel. They have a couple of other good players. World Edit is a great offer, but for the most part, he's carried them to these events, and that's just kind of where they stop right there. But still an impressive streak. I mean, they were on the verge of not making it, and they pulled through and got one of the last spots, I believe, for the major. So,
yeah, I mean, at some point, I mean, the odds eventually, right? I mean, they have major experience, you know?
I'm
just trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to be glass half full, Tim, right?
Let's kind of speed run through these. We got about 4 minutes left here. Fnatic, this is the first major since the Fab Five have reunited. That's a team that we'll talk about later in the show, though. We have a lot to say about them. G2, if you've listened in the past, we've actually interviewed that team before. They are one of the teams that were involved in the French Shuffle a couple months ago.
Considered the super team right now in terms of all the best French players combining to make one team, which has been speculated for 3 years now, and it finally happened. So they have a lot of expectations.
It's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, it has.
It's been somewhat up and down, so we'll talk about that later on. One of the other CIS teams, or a Russian kind of ish team, is Gambit. Gambit is a team that's you won't hear very often in between majors, but they qualify. They've qualified for every major since MLG Columbus. Which was last March. So they're a team that's, again, they've had a lot of a little roster inconsistency with Hobbit, being that I believe he is still on loan.
Yeah, he's still transfer player right now.
Yes, he's not officially on that roster. For a little bit there, he wasn't on the team. And then they re-signed him as a loaned player.
They have one of the best in-game leaders, so that's been their saving grace. Is they have a player named Zeus who came from another CIS team, and he's
Na'Vi, right?
Yeah, from Na'Vi. He's kind of led them, you know, this far with his experience. I think he's the reason this team has made it this far.
It's probably because he looks like he has killed a man.
I think
he
has.
Have you seen his neck tattoos?
That neck tattoo is that's crazy, dude.
That's a good life lesson. Don't mess with the guy.
It's the equivalent of teardrops in my mind.
If you have neck tattoos,
nah, I'm staying away from you.
Your expectations in life are way different than mine. Immortals. Immortals will be there. Immortals, this is actually, surprisingly, their first ever major to qualify. Immortals basically being the second best Brazilian team. SK being number one in the world and obviously the best Brazilian team. Immortals was basically their asexual love child. Would be the best way to describe.
Well, yeah, okay. They kicked off their best player like a couple months back, so nobody had high expectations for them. No. They've added a fifth player that, you know, was an up and coming Brazilian star. He's proven to play pretty well.
Starting to fit in.
Yeah, playing very well, and they've seemed to they found a way to do it. It was super impressive that they made it this far because they've never made it to a major before, and to do it with an unstable roster speaks a lot. But good for them to have an opportunity to be disqualified quickly.
You have Mouse Sports here. Like I mentioned, there's three German teams. This is the second one we're touching on here. They ended up qualifying for this major through the qualifiers. One interesting fact about them, they have the youngest player in the major in Rops.
Yeah, he was like 12.
17 years old.
He's sick.
17 years old.
Looks like he's 12.
He looks like he's 12.
Yes, he looks very
But he has the voice of a 30-year-old.
But we'll get into them later on. Same thing with Na'Vi. They've been struggling as of late. You have North will also be there. North, they recently got second at the ESL Pro League. Somehow out of nowhere, like in one tournament at the ESL Pro League, which was right here in Dallas at the Verizon Theater, we were there. In that one weekend tournament, made themselves the villain of Counter-Strike.
Oh, yeah, they most decided, you know,
most hated team.
And this, I'm not going to lie, I don't really know how.
Yeah, this role doesn't exist right now.
They talked a lot of smack in between, and I guess that put that label on them. The third German team here is Penta. Penta's a great story, and I kind of want to talk a little bit about them with the VP segment, because they kind of have some tie-ins there as far as how their fate works out. Vega Squadron, this is their first ever major. This was a team full of rookies. This is the only team in the major that has all five major rookies. No one has ever qualified for a major on this team. They formed November of last year, super young team as far as their roster is concerned. And if you listened to our preview episode, they were the one team that I said stood no chance to qualify.
Shows how much we know.
And here they are.
Yeah. We're experts, guys.
And we've been mentioning them throughout this whole list here, but you do have SK being number one in the world, and we will talk about them later on in the episode. But for the next segment, let's talk about Virtus Pro and what is going on in the Polish squadron. It's their home tournament. Will they be able to continue what they do? That is next on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
It's a Thursday night F around, and we're fully armed. Go in depth as the center ring guys lock and load on Counter-Strike PGL Major Krakow. With tournament breakdowns and insights on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Welcome back to the center ring here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. We're about to get in some Virtus Pro talk and see what's up with that group. But first, let's thank our sponsors, mansbestfriends.com and Don Davis Auto Group. Now, I would like to first apologize to a good, strong P1. I forget his name, but many, many moons ago, probably towards the beginning of the year, a P1 started listening to the podcast saying, "Hey, man, I'm new to esports. I don't really know how to pick my team." It's kind of like picking an EPL team, if you will, right? You kind of, the team finds you, if you will.
Right.
Because there's really not like any reason to root for one particular team. They're not city bound by any means.
No, me and Brett are both rooting for a Swedish team of all things.
Yeah,
you know, so
die hard.
So he said, he was like, "Well, hey, I kind of like this Virtus Pro team. Is that a good team to like?" I was like, "Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, it's Virtus Pro. They're Polish. That's always good. And they've always been a top tier team. You know, no one has a reason to not like them. They're good guys." And then they just fell off the wagon. So if you're listening, P1, that I said root for Virtus Pro because they're always good, I apologize. Because they're not always good, apparently.
Don't jump.
Virtus Pro, like I said, they're a Polish team. They are the oldest, and people might laugh at this, but they are the oldest roster by age and tenure as far as playing together. Their oldest guys on there, Taz and Neo. Taz is 31 years old and Neo is 30. And in esports, that's old. That is old in esports. We're kind of in uncharted territory, though, because, you know, for the longest time, you couldn't make a living off of esports. So by the time you hit 22 or 23, you're like, "Okay, well,
it's time to get a real job.
Yeah, time to be an adult." So I guess I'm done with this.
25 years from now, you think we'll have like 50-year-old pros and stuff in CSGO?
I mean, they're kind of the first wave, right? These guys playing right now are kind of the first wave to have that opportunity to make that type of money to where they can justify it. So I guess only time will tell on where that takes us. Now, Virtus Pro, they recently signed on to new contracts. All right, contracts are kind of a mystery in esports. in the sense of no one really knows. There's no rules to how a team operates.
No players' unions, no nothing players like union. That.
There's not, like I said earlier, there's not even a set league to make rules. It's each thing has its own way of operating.
But it's slowly starting to get there.
You can see the
But it's
the
still roughly like millionaire and billionaires owning teams and just paying these salaries, whatever like they want to pay.
Yeah. So back in January, Virtus Pro, all five members of the team, ended up signing contracts through the year 2020 for $25,000 a month for salary. $25,000 a month, which I know as far as professional athletes go, that doesn't seem like a lot. Trust me, in esports, that's LeBron James money. Like, that is a lot of money to be salaried in esports. That's not even considering anything they win or endorsements or anything like that.
Right.
So look, if that's not a lot to you in general, like, give me a call. Let's figure out what you're doing. Like, let's look at career changes here, because that is a ton of money to be playing a video game at the end of the day.
I've already started with my son. He's 3, about to be 4. I'm raising a Counter-Strike pro. Not really.
Now, with that being said, that was back in January, okay? 2017, it's been a weird year for Virtus Pro. Overall, their record is 33-2-49. They've only, out of the 11 tournaments they've played in, made it into the top 3 5 different times. And in the last 3 months, now keep in mind, overall for the year, 33 wins, okay? That's very front-loaded, because in the last 3 months, VP is a horrendous 7-32.
If that is any other team in Counter-Strike, that team would have been blown up halfway through that streak.
It would have been blown up 3 times.
Yeah.
In esports, it is unheard of to go through a streak of 7-32 and keep your roster intact. That's the other thing that's crazy about their contracts being signed through 2020. In esports, a span of 3 months is basically what you give a roster if it's not working out. There's constant turnover in esports when it comes to their roster and everything.
Esports rosters are like hockey coaches. They come and go. You don't really know who they are. They're just there. They're a stand-in figure for the most part, it feels like. These guys have been together for 1,200 days. That is insane to think about how long that is, how many tournaments they've played together. Now, granted, Virtus Pro is one of those teams that's gone through a slump every year. I mean, since 2015,
yeah,
they've hit a slump. And, you know, one thing to know about them is they've never been really the best team. They won their first major they ever attended, which was, what, I think it was 2014. Since then, they haven't won a major. They're one of those teams that always comes in, like, second to fifth, generally, you know? They're good enough, have enough firepower to compete, but have never really been the best team.
But they've never even hinted at roster moves. In fact, they've scoffed at it. You bring it up to them, and Pasha and Taz and all these veterans on the team are like, no, we've been playing together since October of 2013. We're not going to do roster moves. We're friends. This is who we want to play with.
They're confident that they'll rebound.
When Fnatic blew up, they scoffed at it. They were like, I cannot believe they did that. That's not how you build a team. You don't just blow it up to improve when Fnatic really had no reason to blow it up.
No.
Right?
Personalities.
Yeah, but that was a personality reason. But clearly they're back together and it was a waste of everyone's time.
It's a waste of everybody's time.
But now you have it where Pasha is finally kind of coming around. Pasha being kind of the voice, one of the voice of the teams. The team's just very vocal in general. But
most popular player on the team there. Yeah.
Pasha is coming around to saying, maybe if this major doesn't work out, we might not be together anymore. Now, keep in mind, too, and this is my opinion, Virtus Pro is coming into this major as a legendary team, meaning they instantly get invited because they got top 8 at E-League in Atlanta.
They would have not made it to the qualifiers.
And Rising, you know, they're coming off a high off that 5-4 win against SK in a soccer
game. They lost.
They lost 5-4.
Are
they
you
lost
sure?
to yeah. SK, yeah.
Well, never mind.
So they're not even winning in a friendly soccer match.
No, but these guys have, I mean, not only, they've always been notorious for performing well on LAN. That's where they generally play well. they come together, they find a way to show up at these big events, these big money events. Now they're about to start not even being invited to some of these LANs. At ESL, they finished 13th out of 14th. They're being relegated there. At ECS, they finished 9th out of 10th. They're now having to play their way to keep their spot in a four-team tournament there. So these guys are, you know, not going to have many more opportunities to show that, hey, we should have an opportunity to stick together. There's a good chance that if they don't perform well here, there might not be a second time around.
And, you know, just looking at just recently, two out of the last 10 matches against teams that are going to be in this tournament, they've lost to. Like, they aren't winning against teams that are going to be in this tournament. So
they're
not even bode well.
They're not even winning against the bad team.
The bad one.
And I don't want to say, well, it's the money, right? They've made their money and now they're changing, right? These guys, they are the old school players. They are not the type that would do it. Now, it is our job to kind of speculate and say maybe it's not directly the money, but when you have money, you have more things to do and more distractions.
It's timing that's disturbing, right? It's the timing of everything and where
poor
it fell
timing.
On. Yeah.
Now, this is also coming to a point, though, that I have always argued when it comes to Counter-Strike and how people even look at it. People like to look at Counter-Strike and they draw a line down the middle of what's important. Online matches and offline matches. And people tend to only think the offline matches matter because it's LAN and that's where the big money and the big tournaments always go. But to get to those big tournaments, you have to perform well online. That's always my argument. And I feel like this is a perfect case of look what happens when you just don't take everything as serious.
No, I mean, more to the point, they missed out on the most recent, the ESL tournament because they didn't perform in online. So eventually it's going to come back to bite them. And I don't see it getting any better.
And it's crazy because these guys were ranked number one in the world around the end of 2016, carrying over into 2017. You know, they were second place at the last major that we just had in with E-League. So for them to hit this kind of streak now is just alarming because it's been 6 months since they've really done anything in the sport. And like we mentioned earlier, that's an eternity in esports.
And I think it's more of a mental thing because if you look at the last ESL Pro League, they were relegated and had rules made up to get them back in. They were completely relegated from the league for losing, just like in the EPL and the European Soccer or the English Premier League. And then all of a sudden, ESL was like, hey, we're going to do a four-team tournament so you can get back in. And they end up winning that and getting back in the league. This year, the same thing happens where they get second to last place and they're relegated. And then they lose the relegation matches. And I haven't heard anything yet of ESL getting it back in. But I think even VP said they're done.
But even with ESL, their relegation matches at the time looked like easy games that they should win.
Well, it was against Penta, how we
Penta
brought up
and Big,
before.
Two teams that are now in, you know,
the major.
In the major with them. So competition was good. The EU side's always been tougher, but still 13th out of 14th. I
again,
mean, that's
it's good, but VP should never have been in that situation.
No. There's plenty of teams that they should have been able to run over and not put themselves in position to be one of the last, you know, four teams in that league.
They're super frustrating because, like I said, there is not a reason to want them to lose. They are they're good dudes.
They're likable.
Lovable team, man.
You can't look at any of the five and just be like, yeah, I hate this guy. You know, I hope they blow it up. It's not like Fnatic, where you look at Fnatic, they're like the Yankees, right?
SK.
Yeah.
You know, all those teams have a reason for you not to like.
Right.
And, you know, let's get into those teams here now. VP, I got into here to hopefully solve something, but we're never going to solve VP. The major is going to dictate what happens to the roster. But let's look at all the other teams' rosters coming up. We'll go in a little bit more detail about SK, Fnatic, Cloud9, all those teams coming up next here on the Center Ring on 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
It's an eSports Thursday night F around as we preview the Counter-Strike PGL Major Crackout Tournament on the Center Ring with our first-person shooters Tim K, Brett Foster, and Anoue Bajiaje on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
All right. That was almost correct, Conrad. I don't even think I can repeat how he said your name, Anuj.
I don't even know what that was. Was that my name? Is that what that was?
It definitely was. It is your name now.
Anoue Bajiaji?
No, that's actually right. Oh, he got it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
No, Anoue Bajiaji. That's my African Tim. Name. My actual name
your
is...
Indian.
Anuj Bajaj. So
it was close.
That's what I like to go by on Monday through Friday, but...
it was close. Well, hey, we are the center ring. It doesn't matter because no one knows your name anyways, if it was right or wrong.
Dang.
But we are...
Shots fired.
The center ring. Follow us on Twitter, at the center ring. And also... give us your Twitter questions, right? We're getting great responses. We're going to answer those segments here coming up at 8:50 to end the show. We talked about Virtus Pro a lot last segment, the struggles, the woes with them. But they're not the only team here at the major. I want to talk a little bit about, to start this segment off, with Fnatic. Fnatic is what used to be the standard in Counter-Strike. Right, like they used to be considered a dynasty. Would you consider them a dynasty?
Yeah, they were definitely the first dynasty in CS.
Definitely. Like, so for you sports fans out there, I compared them to the Yankees last segment, where, you know, the Yankees, you used to be able to pencil them in, you know, into the World Series. They're going to get 100 wins, and they're the favorites. Fnatic, same way. They, you know, you could pencil them into the finals, and more than likely, they were going to win it. But now they're like the Yankees now, where they'll eke in to the playoffs. But do they have a chance? Probably not.
The difference now is, like, when they were the dynasty in Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike was in its infancy as far as Global Offensive goes. I know Counter-Strike's been around forever. I know that. But Global Offensive was still fairly new. Yeah. People, the meta of the game hadn't really been defined. Teams didn't really have coaches at that point, so they were winning on raw firepower. They could out-duel you at any point, and it was just a pure talent, you know, pure talent for them, and that's how they could just run you over.
And you watch them now, and you watch them and go and watch Astralis or SK. It's not the same Counter-Strike. It's not. Teams are so technical now that they have to change their game. They can't just depend on raw talent and aiming anymore.
That beats you against the weaker. That makes you win against the weaker teams. But against the top tier teams, those 1-4, 1-5, you're going to struggle quite a bit there.
It'll get you in the top 8.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get you any further than, you know, semis.
Now, they are the only team to have, like, legend status, I believe, for every single Counter-Strike major. Is that correct? We'll assume it's correct.
Question.
I'm pretty sure it's correct.
Who's going to check us? They are the only one to make legendary status. Next in line to have the most would be VP, and then Ninjas in Pajamas, which
they were actually tied with them, but this is their first major they haven't qualified for. Unfortunately, they lost to Vega Squadron.
That is a shame.
So there are other teams we're going to be talking about,
and
right?
And the thing with Fnatic, too, is they kind of shot themselves in the foot because like they were a dynasty. They had a rough patch, and rather than trying to play through it or figure it out, they chalked it up to our personalities just cannot mesh anymore. Differences in opinion, let's blow it up.
It's like Backstreet Boys, man. Like, they didn't know what they had until they left each other.
Yeah,
they're back, you know?
They're back, all right?
Yeah, but they're second tier now, just like Fnatic.
Backstreet's
are they?
Back.
They just announced a new world tour.
Bro, they're playing in Vegas daily.
Hey, man, that's a nice paycheck. You hold your tongue when it comes to Vegas. Looking on here, though, we also mentioned Mouse Sports. I feel like there's enough to talk about with Mouse Sports. For multiple reasons, and it's more so the storylines than the skill. They, to me, are a team that could get legendary status. They could get top 8 at here. Will they? Maybe not. I don't know. It's Rops' first major. Like we said, he is only 17, and he just joined the team, back in April?
You talk about a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, he's mature beyond his years, I think.
So if you're not familiar with where Rops came from, he was basically found in FPL, which is, think of it, a pickup game. It's almost like you play pickup basketball with the top elite. It's a pickup game with pros, but that's how you get noticed.
It's like a farm system. right? I mean,
not even though.
But
it's not a formal farm system.
You put your name out
system.
There. Right. I mean, you're out there. You're playing against pros,
but yeah. It's a pickup game.
You have to have a certain ranking in this online play to be able to play in FPL. He was good enough to be able to play in it, but because it's not a pro only thing, he could play with the pros, right? So he got to play in there. He performed really well.
Number one.
A bunch of teams. Yeah, back-to-back seasons, he actually got number one in FPL, but that's also due to time played in there, right?
Right.
He found a way to...
Teams were begging him to play while others, and even pros like JW on Fnatic were calling him out for being a hacker. Fans were saying you were a hack, or he was hacking because he wasn't joining another team because, you know, God forbid a 16, 17-year-old kid wants to finish up school first. And that was his excuse, was like, he's young.
I can't do my school schedule and a pro schedule, because a pro schedule is like a regular job.
Dude, it's even worse, though.
Yeah, you're traveling 24/7.
You're expected to practice 8-plus hours a day. You're traveling almost every week, international travel at that. It's not an easy life.
It took a sell from their team's owner to go to his house and convince his parents that this is the real deal. We're going to give you a real salary. This is how many zeros come behind your salary. Give him a chance to do this. And he has. And they're working around his school schedule still. He's still going to school and playing in these tournaments. And so he was really just a gem for them to find, because he replaced Nico, who we mentioned earlier in the show, as the best player in the world. And so he took his spot on that roster.
And that's why I said, you know, mature beyond his years, because he took over for arguably the best player in the world. And hit the ground running, too.
Yeah.
Like, got him qualified for tournaments and, you know, is holding his own.
He was one of the carries on that team. He was one of the players that, in Nico's absence, performed well enough to allow them to qualify for these events. Him along with Oscar, who is their opper, first time qualifying for a major himself.
Which, that's hard to believe.
It is.
Right?
Oscar's been around forever. So for him to have
a top opper forever.
He hasn't found consistency on a team. He's kind of moved around. He joined Mouse Sports. He left Mouse Sports. Then he came back after Nico's departure. So his first major, Rope's his first major. It's going to be exciting. It won't be surprising if they go 3-0 and run straight into the playoffs,
they'll
eliminated quickly at the same
after
time.
After like one win or something.
They're going to be one of those teams that will favor from the Swiss format.
Yeah.
They will be a team that favors from the best of one. You're playing each team once. In a group stage, I think if they were stuck with SK or someone like that, they could figure Mouse Sports out and eliminate them pretty quickly and make them irrelevant in a group.
But with that being said, last week was ESL, and ESL won. They started off 2-0 and lost their last three games to get eliminated.
Yeah.
So, again, with this type of Swiss format, everybody has an opportunity
to
advance.
Excuses, but the weekend before majors, when there's a tournament that close to a major, I always err on the side of maybe that's not on their mind.
But that's ESL.
It's ESL 1.
It's in Germany, in their hometown. Like, this is,
I get
like
that.
But that was a big event.
Teams are notorious for trying strats before majors or not showing strats before majors. They hide what they've been working on for majors.
And I would agree with that 90% of the time. I just feel like ESL is its own, like, everybody wants to play on the big stage.
The
laxness at ESL, you want to be on stage there.
Now, one team here, we aren't going to talk huge about them. We've already talked a lot about them earlier in the show, but Astralis. You know, you mentioned, Anuj, that they've been kind of quiet the last couple of months. Now, after they won the E-League major, they basically said, we're getting burnt out. There's too many tournaments. And they said that they're going to take a step back and be a lot more selective with where they play. Hence why they haven't been a part of a lot of the tournaments. In fact, they dropped out of ESL-1. They were, one of the handful of teams.
They were really the only big team that decided to drop out. And it hurt them because of that new tournament system, but that's for another time.
Yeah, but...
But, yeah, they've been quiet for the last 3 months, really. And now, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, it's time to go. We're in a major. And you hope they can find their form again
going into this event. In the last 3 months, Astralis is 20-16 out of 36 matches. That's a pretty good record. Now, the one thing that is odd to me, and the one cause of concern for limiting your schedule in this manner, and it's going to be very evident if it paid off quickly. Like, you're going to find in the first match or two if this risk is worth it. they have not played since June 25th. It's almost going to be three weeks by the time the major rolls around.
And even prior to June, they were kind of back and forth. You look, you know, losses to SK, they're in this tournament. Losses to Cloud9, they're in this tournament. Losses to FaZe, they were in this tournament, although they traded wins and losses against FaZe. But, you know, I think momentum's huge going in to events. And like Tim said, I think this could come back to bite.
Dude, 3 weeks is a long time to not play a competitive game.
You assume they've been practicing against other EU teams. That's where the best practice takes place in that region. So you assume they're staying informed that way. But a lot of these big teams
have been at events recently. Like, imagine in like the NFL, people complain about one bye week.
Yeah.
Being rusty coming back from 1 week off. Imagine if they took 3 weeks off and then had to go play.
And you're going to be playing against a pumped up Immortals team. I mean, this team.
Is that who they have first round?
Yeah, that's who they got first round. Immortals has never made a major before. They're going to be psyched to be there. And Immortals is a technically sound team. It's not one of those teams that you go out and just beat with firepower because strategically.
They used to be.
Yeah, they used to be. But Steel has done a very good job out there. They all know their places. Like you said, they've added their fifth. So it's not going to be an easy first round matchup for them.
Yeah, I could see Immortals taking that and starting the tournament off very poorly for Astralis. All right, let's get into the other teams here. We got Cloud9, we have Na'Vi, we have FaZe. What else? SK, we haven't even talked about SK yet. That will all be coming up next. Again, hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring because we're going to take Twitter questions at the end of the show. But we will be back with more teams here on The Ticket.
We're not effing around tonight. This is serious stuff. Okay, we are effing around. And the subject of said time wasting? We're previewing the Counter-Strike DGL Major Krakow on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Mike and Cash Soroy are getting legal this Saturday as they broadcast live from Legal Draft Beer Company on East Division Street in Arlington from noon until 2. Try craft beer at its finest with names like Accused Amber Ale, Presumed Innocent, and Hung Jury. Plus, tons of giveaways, including beer flights and game tickets to the ballpark in Arlington. Welcome back to the Center Ring here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. We are previewing the PGL Krakow Major coming up this weekend, and all week for that matter. The finals are going to be next weekend. We are getting great responses on Twitter, great questions even, and we're going to answer all of those, or most of them, next segment as we wrap up the show. So again, that is at The Center Ring if you're interested, or even if you're not, just give us a follow. I don't care if you like the show or not. You can follow us and mute us.
I mean, I kind of care, but yeah, if you don't.
Very little.
Very little.
I'm not in here for your likes.
We're honestly here for the follows. Yeah, we're here for the follows.
That's all I care about. But let's finish up some of these team previews here before we get into Twitter questions. We also have predictions coming up. We'll tell you what we think is going to happen and how wrong we always are. But let's start here, okay? Let's just start with Cloud9. Let's get this out of the way.
Go ahead.
Like we said, this is the one American team, the one North American team. Now, if you are new to Counter-Strike, you might see brackets and divisions listed, and you might see SK and Immortals as North American. That's only because esports only recognizes the world in three areas, maybe four. You have China, Korea, Europe, and North America.
China and Korea kind of go hand in hand. I throw Russia as like their own little segment.
Then, yeah, but yeah, my point is North America is anything on our side.
Yeah, because there's not that many good teams.
South American.
You have to combine the two to give us enough teams to be relevant.
Yes, but true North American teams. Cloud9 is the only one in this tournament that was able to qualify. Big scare going in that there was not going to be one, and it was not going to be fun if that was the case. So Cloud9, though, they recently are coming off their best finish ever, I would say, on a big scale. They ended up going into the finals for ESL One Cologne last week, and they got destroyed.
0-3
by SK in the finals. The results, not that great.
Expected, though.
Expected, and I don't think anyone really cared, to be honest with you.
We're just happy to be here.
Yeah,
no, the finals felt like the semifinals, right? Like in the semifinals when Cloud9 advanced, that felt like, oh gosh, they did it.
We made it, boys. We're in. They hung the mission accomplished banner, and as they should. I mean, like I said, Cloud9.
Nothing took his shirt off.
They are good. Cloud9 is a, you know, arguably a top tier team when it wants to be. But their expectations are one of the Dallas Cowboys.
And stop comparing them to the Cowboys. You're killing me with that.
I'm comparing the expectations, right? People always expect the best of the Cowboys, even if it's not warranted.
It's because we're great.
You know, now you sound like a Cloud9 fanboy.
Yes.
Now you know how I feel. So here's the thing with Cloud9, okay? They have a solid roster. The issue is their roster can never click all at the same time. It's either Stewie and Automatic carrying the team.
Which happen to be both Asian players.
And yeah, no correlation
Wait,
there.
Yeah, geez.
And then you either have Skadoodle or Nothing or Shroud stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, it's one of those three performs well along with the other two
players.
Now
this comes to the age-old philosophy, is someone's got a bottom frag, right? You have to have someone doing bad on the team in order for somebody to do that good. But I think if Cloud9 could ever figure it out, right? Because people are like, you know, like what I just said, right? I'm going to argue with my own point because this is what happens. Look at SK. SK is a team that there doesn't always have to be someone playing poor. SK, all of them always play well.
Yeah, like all five, up and down the roster.
If all five of Cloud9 played the way that they can play because they've shown it, they would be SK.
And it's what got him to the ESL 1 Cologne final. You know, they were all clicking. Had one stat where, you know, Automatic was going off that tournament, so there was really no one any close. But the other guys were like within 15 frags of each other. So everyone was contributing, and you see where it got him. It got him to the finals, but then it all fell apart. And then they went back to old. Their biggest struggle has
been the player Shroud. Shroud has always been the most inconsistent. He has the highest hopes behind him, but he doesn't perform the best on the big stages. At ESL 1, he ended up with the most clutches out of anybody. He ended up with 11 clutches in the tournament. It was by far and away the most that anybody had. He showed up big, and it showed what it's like when all five are performing at a fairly high level, right? Mm-hmm. You have two carries, and then you have, you know, three others that are really playing well and staying on par with them. So I feel like if they have all five gelling, we've seen what they can do. They can make the finals of big events. They can compete and contend in these events, but you really have to have all five in this kind of tournament.
I also think it's a little bit of their map pool is pretty shallow. So I could see, now obviously they, no matter which way they go, even if they're the top seed team A or the lower seed team B in this new format, they're going to get to ban at least two maps. I can almost promise you what maps those are going to be, unless they're playing a team they want to ban one of their favorites. Cloud9 in the last 3 months have played Overpass twice, and they're 50-50. They've won one, lost one, and they've played Nuke once and lost.
Well, Nuke will be an insta-ban because they're playing North, so they definitely will not want to play Nuke against North.
But those two maps, now keep in mind, normally you're safe with not playing Nuke because a lot of teams don't play Nuke.
Yeah.
So you're probably safe. If you don't practice that, you don't necessarily probably don't even have to ban it and feel safe. Unless you are against a team like North, where that's probably why they're good on it, because they know no one else is. But I think that's kind of where their issue normally lies. Now, their CT side is historically poor. That's normally where you'll see them struggle, but that's not completely exclusive to Cloud9. That's just the game. The game in general favors the terrorist side, being AKs and
for all that. Teams that lack tactical leadership, teams that have good tactical leadership are dominant CT teams. You look at SK, you look at FaZe, Astralis. These guys are very good CT sided teams, but it's because they're very tactical. They have an in-game leader. Cloud9 lacks that. T side is a little bit more run and gun. You know, you can open up sites by really just getting the first kill, and that's where they excel because they do have elite skilled players. They just lack the tactical game sense, and that's why you've seen that leadership bounce around. Automatic, Stewie, these guys have all held leadership positions at one point, and I think it's back to Stu now.
Well, and I think Do you guys like that? The lights turned off on you.
That was nice.
That's how you know.
The ambiance.
So let's jump into to SK here, because they are a team to me that as a organization, as a team, they are a true dynasty. Because even through recent roster changes, they have not slowed down at all. They dropped FNX because of
attitude
issue. Yeah. He's been dropped from every team because of attitude issue. They picked up
Phelps,
and they didn't miss a beat.
And Phelps
at
is
all.
A fantastic player.
They just won ESL Cologne 1.
The only time they had a slip up is after their second major win. They kind of declined and became not irrelevant, but they weren't the top team. That's why actually when VP came in and took over the top spot in Astralis. These guys are the model of consistency, though. They are led by just an amazing leader in Fallen. He's also their in-game opper, in-game caller. They have arguably the best player in the world in Coldzera, who is up there with, you know, Nico and them. So they are a very skilled team.
You can make an argument that they have three of the top five players in the world in Cold, Fallen, and Fur. So, I mean, it's just pick your poison, right?
They are... I've always been afraid of them. I mean, no matter... Pick whatever type of SK you want to take, right? Whatever roster buildup you want to take. They are always a team where even... It's a 4v1, right? It could be 4 versus 1, and I am still not confident that the team with four guys could beat SK with one.
No.
And it's that type of team. You know, they dominate Mirage. They, you know, for example, I was there. I was at MLG Columbus when Cold did his crazy
jump odd shot,
got the 4 kills. And that's the type of plays, though, that they make. Not only are they a crazy good teamwork, they have crazy composure, they can also make the crazy kills that, I've always said it, I don't think they're hacking. I'm not going to pull that card. I think it's in 2017.
They're not.
No, they're not. But if someone somewhere down the road says, hey, you know what? They were using this crazy undetectable hack. I'd be like, okay.
This is the Cloud9 fan and Tim coming out, just so y'all know where this hatred comes from.
This is just because they're dominant. I mean,
these guys are like the Patriots, man. Like, they're just, like I said, it's all about dedication. It's all about teamwork with them. It's not about one player. No. Like I said, watching them play is watching Counter-Strike in its finest. And then they've extended their map pool. They play very well on a lot of different maps. So
they just look unbeatable. And when they made that change, that roster change to get Phelps, you could tell he was trying to do too much, right? Like the first couple of games he was playing, they kind of had to reel him in. Fallen had to reel him in, like, hey, you don't have to prove yourself. You're on the team. You don't have to try hard. You know, you're going to get your kills. Just play our game, right?
And one team that's been on the coattails of SK and chomping at the bit to be number one, that's FaZe. Real quickly, because I want to get into predictions, but FaZe is another one of those teams where, you know, this is their first major with Nico on the roster. They picked Nico up after the last major, or after DreamHack Vegas, to be more accurate. And that's another one where typically you don't see in CSGO teams adapt as quickly as they did when it comes to new players on the roster. Normally, there's always a learning curve.
A little different when you add the best player in the world on your team, though.
It probably helps.
Probably makes it a little bit easier.
It probably helps. And that's, I think, that speaks volume to the difference between when you're like a dominant team up in the top tier, when you add a new player, it's not to like rebuild. Like for the longest time, like for example, when Cloud9 added Stewie, that was like part of a rebuild pickup. It was, hey, we have to give him 6 months because at that time, Stewie was unknown.
Him and Automatic both.
Right.
I mean, even Automatic was coming from a lower level team from TSM, I believe, at that time, and whoever else he went to.
And those always have to have that leash of being like, guys, this is a learning opportunity, and we're just going to see if it works out. There is no, well, I wonder if Nico's going to work out.
No, this is, we're picking him up, and we're expecting to win majors.
They hit the ground running, too. Like, when he was playing for Mousesports, he felt like you could just see it on his face. He had the whole weight of the world, the whole weight of that team on his shoulders. And when he went to FaZe, you could just see he was revitalized. Like, hey, I don't have to be the carry in this match.
You're playing with an elite in-game leader in Kerrigan. You're playing with another elite player in Rain, who is just elite from a talent standpoint. Mm-hmm. So they got good leadership. He's in a better position now, and they have every opportunity to win this tournament.
So real quick, before commercial, let's name predictions. Let's say finals. Who do you got in the finals, and who do you have winning it? Go, Brett.
Who I'd have in the finals, FaZe and SK. And I don't think you can pick anybody else in this tournament but SK at the moment. I feel like they're just way better than everybody else right now. And as I said before, momentum is, I feel, is huge in Counter-Strike. So I'm going SK.
I'm going with Vega. Vega and Penta.
Who do you got?
Vega and Penta in the finals. No, I'm actually on the same page as Brett here. I feel like this is going to be pretty boring predictions, but I got SK playing FaZe in the finals as well. I got SK beating them in the best of five there at the end. I just don't think anyone can beat SK in a best of five series, and that's why SK hates this Swiss format.
Map pulls
so
too huge.
I just I see SK pulling it out and picking up their fourth. What is that? That would be their fourth trophy.
Now, here's a little secret you guys might not know about me. I hate predictions. First off, I think they're silly and kind of pointless, and it just proves on how dumb we really are.
What?
But it could be because I never get them right.
Pick Cloud 9 every time.
Yeah, just pick Cloud 9.
Well,
eventually
that is
right.
My bit. I do pick Cloud 9 every time. But I really do think that it's possible. I pick on possibilities that I could see a repeat of ESL 1 Cologne with Cloud 9 and SK in the finals.
What's new?
Mm-hmm.
With Cloud 9 beating SK.
Oh my God.
Cloud 9 will be your first American major winners in CSGO history. And you heard it here first on the Center Ring on the Ticket.
It's an eSports Thursday night FRM as we preview the Counter-Strike PGL Major Crackout Tournament on the Center Ring with our first-person shooters Tim Kay, Brett Foster, and Anoue Bajiaje on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Come on. Give me a break.
I want that as my ringtone or
this
something.
This has become the joke now. I like it, boys.
I love it.
Again, this is the Center Ring. This is our last segment, and I appreciate you all for listening, even if you just tuned in. So if you're expecting the Ticket Top 10, that will be back tomorrow. No Fahey, though, right, Fahey?
No. So I can't guarantee that there actually will be one.
Okay, so we don't even know that.
No.
All right, well, there will be something in this time slot tomorrow, so be sure to tune in for that. But let's do some e-news here. E-News is our weekly segment here where we kind of just hit on the headliners, things that we just didn't have time to talk to in this episode or didn't have enough to say. We're probably going to talk majority of this stuff next week, though, on our podcast. Again, if you're interested, follow the show at The Center Ring on Twitter because we talk about more than just Counter-Strike. All right, this is the major preview, and it kind of warrants a full-on episode. So here are some E-News for you and some quick hits. Starting off, a lot of people on Twitter have been talking about it. EVO 2017. This is the biggest fighting tournament of the year, hands down. It is awesome. It is in Las Vegas every year. It is this weekend, July 14th through the 16th. Sadly, on the same weekend of the Counter-Strike Major. Thankfully, I don't really have much of a life, and I can watch it all. But it does suck that it happens to be on the same weekend.
Yeah, well, thankfully, I have two computer screens and a phone, so I can multitask.
So highly recommend that. We'll definitely talk about that next week as far as a recap goes, because it's, like I said, if you like Street Fighter, this year it will be on ESPN2 yet again. It's the second year in a row, so check that out Sunday night, 9 p.m. our time, Central. The Dota 2, we mentioned it last week, but the prize pool has officially broken the 2016 record. It is now, as of yesterday, so I'm sure it's even higher right now, but it's $20,789,000.
I started playing the wrong game.
God.
I mean, first place gets like 7 or 8 million in that game. It's insane.
If future Tim could go back and tell past Tim anything, it would be to play Dota 2, because that's insane. And that's, like I said, that's still going up. That's a crowdfunded tournament, by the way, if you We're wondering why it's so high and keeps on rising. And this will definitely be talked about next week because we talk about it a lot, mainly in anger. But Blizzard has officially announced its first 7 teams for their Overwatch League.
About time.
They've announced the cities, not the teams, right?
Well, yes, the cities.
But you can correct. Pretty much know.
You could kind of figure it out from there. Boston will have a team that is actually owned by Patriots owner, the Kraft family. New York, that's by the COO of the New York Mets. So they will have a team. Los Angeles, Miami, Orlando is actually going to share a team. That seems really odd, but that's what happened.
Is that the Dolphin ownership group involved in that?
The Heat, I
the
think.
Heat.
The Heat, yeah. Okay.
The Miami Heat are part of that, teaming up with Team Misfits. San Francisco will have one, and this is where we get international boys. Shanghai and Seoul.
Korea.
So it's a worldwide league here. Like I said, we'll talk about it. I know we all have our opinions. Anuj, you're not really interested. Well, you're not impressed.
Not that I'm not interested.
You're not impressed with this announcement. You were wanting more. Brett, you were wanting more teams. And me? I think it's just right. I just needed just the tip. Just the tip. And they gave it to me. Also, starting this weekend is the Overwatch World Cup Group A. This is pro. So this is different from last year's World
Cup.
Big
change. Good change.
I'm actually interested in it this year. So, again, on the same weekend as the major, but we'll get through it somehow. Also, Group A is mainly China, and that starts at, 1 o'clock in the morning. So
China number one.
I'm not watching that anyways. But that's it for E-News. Again, we'll probably talk most of that next week. So, again, follow the show at The Center Ring. It's the only way of keeping up with everything. Let's get into some Twitter questions here, though. We have some great stuff here. I guess let's just start in order from where I'm seeing them now. Let's see here. Corey Bond asks, do you see Destiny 2 making a run against Overwatch and or CSGO?
I personally do. I think Destiny 2 with their 4v4 competitive setup is definitely going to play a factor in the esports scene. They've built this iteration of the game that way to make it more competitive, design the maps for a more competitive play pool. They've been doing the spotlights over the last few days prior to the beta releasing on Sunday. So I see it. I mean, they had a huge following on PS4. I think in PC, we'll see how big the numbers grow. And I think it has a chance. I don't know if it'll be as big as Overwatch. Overwatch has 10 million players.
CSGO
is massive and it's worldwide, but I think Destiny will it'll have its own market and it'll do fine.
I think it will do fine, but putting it on the level of CS and Overwatch,
those are
close.
Big X-Men's. I don't really like the discussion of and Cray-Tray of the ticket fame. Every P1 knows Cray-Tray. He asked, and I'm just going to pair it with this, what do we think the next big esports is? I honestly, Trey, I love you, but I hate the question only because you don't know. There's every game now is
every game markets as an esports game.
Yes, this is how marketing has turned in video games, right? It used to be called multiplayer, right? Now it's called, here's our esports. It's like, no, this is just multiplayer. Like, let's be real. But every developer tries starting it out with an esports. They try starting it out with a tournament. For those who might not know esports, hear that, and they think that's what it is, and it's really not. It's really, esports is much more than just throwing money onto a tournament. Esports is just like any other sport.
I think Destiny has a good chance to be big in the scene, but I would compare it more to the size of a Call of Duty type game versus a CSGO or a Dota or League of Legends. Like, those are astronomical numbers, but to the level of COD or something, I wouldn't be surprised.
So the question was, what would the next big esport, right? Up and coming? Player unknown?
That genre will be interesting to see.
I think that's
how much it grows, right?
That's where you have to start, is what genre is going to be the next big esport. You have MOBA. That's going to be Dota and League of Legends.
That won't change.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I don't see that ever really
Heroes
changing.
A little
Heroes
bit in
the
there.
Storm is there.
But Paladins and all that is a wash in
no,
my mind.
No, that's done.
Yeah.
FPS has room to grow, which is where Destiny 2 can find its place. Overwatch is there, but it's different than your normal FPS. It's not Counter-Strike or Call of Duty.
Overwatch
it is
almost
an FPS, but
it's its own kind
it's
of
different.
Mix of game. But yeah, even Destiny is not
a
like a Counter-Strike.
Shooter, though,
yeah.
Right? It's a class. It has classes, which attracts an entirely different
And that's how Destiny is. Destiny will be a class-based shooter as well. So
a little bit. No, not so much as healers and DPS and tanks, but yes, there is a difference there. Let's see, what else do we have here? Brent Sherman asks, I really like the show. Thanks, man. I do too. As he says, he's new to esports. Is there a place for listings? I can never find where to watch. Oh, Brent. Welcome to esports, my friend.
Yeah.
This is a constant struggle for anyone who's even really into esports.
And I hope you don't like Call of Duty, because you'll find nothing out there for that sport.
So honestly, first off, what are you into? Right? If you're into fighting, if you're into the FGC, the fighting game community, I highly suggest shuriken.com.org.
Something.
Look up Shuriken on Google. That is a awesome all you need to know for fighting games. It has schedules of tournaments, every article you could think of. It's awesome. If you're really into Counter-Strike, hltv.org.
Yeah, by far
the go-to Counter-Strike website.
For rankings, matches, everything. Everything.
Articles, everything there.
Now, there are a couple apps that we mentioned.
Yes. The esports app is really good, and so is Strafe. I like Strafe a little more. Personally, I know Anuj,
I only used one of them, but right. They give you all the schedules. If
you can mark
your favorite teams. If the game is going on, you can click on it. It'll take you straight to the live stream of the game to be able to watch it. Not a whole lot in terms of news and all that on there, but if you're just looking for strictly scores and schedules, you can get all your information on there.
Let's see here. You have Ricky. Ricky asks, what can esports do to bring more people in and increase the following? That is a great question, Ricky. We were actually saw that and kind of were discussing it during commercial break. So let's do this in two parts. What can esports do to bring more people in?
So,
yeah, that could also do it. But no, esports it's an interesting kind of bit where it's a constant growing thing, right? I don't know, though, what's the target market for these guys. I think it's people who play video games, and then that's my starting point, is target market are the people who play the video games and then convince them that watching it in a competitive manner, getting invested into teams.
But it's kind of like real sports in that sense. Like, you don't like every real sport.
No,
it's not like you're going to love tennis or golf or soccer. Like, not everybody's going to be happy with
esports
everything.
Esports is a very vague
term. Yeah, so it's finding, I think first and foremost, is finding a genre within esports that appeals to you, whether that's shooters, MOBAs, whatever it may be, and then kind of follow that game along a little bit and see if it appeals to you that way. It's not for everybody, but I think if you found your genre first that appealed to you the most would be the first step in finding what you enjoy watching.
So to Tim's point, you know, your target audience is going to be obviously the people that play the game, but staying on the topic of Counter-Strike, stop oversaturating the game, right? Not a tournament every weekend.
Not a
major every other month.
I feel like that's when you get to the point that we are, where you watch all of them.
Because
as a new fan, though,
you're not going to watch every single tournament.
When Nip was good. Set. But when Nip was good, they'd win a tournament. And I'm like, so they won a tournament. They won a tournament last week, too. You know, I can't get hyped for this because it's just oversaturated.
Too many small tournaments in between. But you watch the big ones. If you keep up and follow which ones are the big ones, those are the ones that are exciting to watch. And they draw a lot of attention. The production value is great. So maybe even start off by watching a little bit on TBS and you know, following E-League. E-League has amazing production value. So maybe picking some of the bigger tournaments within your genre would also help, because you would get good production value, good commentators, analysts, that'll kind of guide you along the way to learn a little bit about it.
And if you are already a fan of esports, we're about to wrap the show up, but if you are already a fan of esports, I implore you to be kind to people who maybe not like it, right? Like Anuj, you said it, you're not going to like every type of esports. It's a very vague term. I don't like every sport out there. You're never going to convince someone. I mean, I see it here on Twitter during the show. There are people who almost are offended by the term esports. I think it's a little silly, but that's because I host a show for them. Go figure. But you're also going to have those people who hate soccer. You're never going to convince those people that soccer is a good sport. You're never, just like you're never going to convince anyone that competitive gaming and esports is any more than what their kids do after school.
Yeah.
There's just the group of people that you just have to move on. And that to me is part of it. You know? Haters gonna hate, as
hate,
they say.
Hate.
But more importantly, if you are getting into esports, or you love them, or whatever.
Or love us.
You could hate esports but still love us. That is a possibility. And who wouldn't? You're a new Jay Bajaj.
Anuj Bajaj.
Follow us on Twitter.
It's your new name now, right?
This is
your
center new ring. Yeah. At the Center Ring. Follow us on Twitter. Give the show a follow. We also have a Discord. If you have Discord or don't know what that is, it's like a chat room. We're always in there to answer questions or discuss latest tournaments or anything like that. Rocket League, that's going on now. I know Mike Saroy of Ticket Fame. He's not big into the pro Rocket League, but he loves Rocket League. And that's, you know, that's something that he will casually tune on, he's told me. So it's here at the station. I want to thank Kat for giving us the opportunity again for wasting everyone's time talking about esports. I think it's awesome that, you know, the Ticket is around to give people this opportunity to kind of branch out. You know, it is a thing. It is out there. It is getting popular.
It is gaining popularity, yeah.
So eventually it's going to do it. I mean, when you think about everything, you know, competitive gaming or watching a bunch of grown men chase a ball around, it's all kind of silly at the end. And thankfully the Ticket is here for us to talk about it.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate the opportunity. This has been super exciting and a lot of fun for all of us here.
But until next time, that is it for us here at the Center Ring. Again, my name is Tim K. For Brett Foster, Anuj Bajaj.
Anuj Bajaj.
We'll see you guys next time. And again, thank you so much for listening. That is it for the Center Ring here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM. The Ticket.